and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Live from the Auction Community Studio, Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin in for Bickley and Murata, so you will not be hearing a Bickley blast right now. Do you think Bickley's still, like, at noon, even on his days off, wherever he is, just gets really opinionated all of a sudden?
Is he eating a sandwich? Like, he slams it to the ground? Just goes into a 90-second monologue?
Yeah.
And, yes. And, to answer your question.
I don't know how you wouldn't at this point. Like, you've trained yourself at noon every weekday.
You just spit out his pokey to give an opponent.
I've never had pokey.
You never had pokey?
Uh-uh.
Have you ever done the hokey pokey?
Okay. Also, I should point out, because, you know, I want to make sure we include all the sports. The Olympics going on right now, it hasn't started yet, but something called canoe slalom is about to be on, which I'm going to be disappointed if it's not what I think it is. Let's just put it that way.
I don't know how it couldn't be.
I want a lot of canoes competitively weaving through the water, preferably downhill.
Canoe slalom sounds like something you need to take penicillin to get rid of.
All right. So this is our we're going to go through, and we each have three questions for Cardinals. This is just for training camp, right?
Arizona Cardinals training camp.
All right.
Started today,
yes,
officially.
It did. Thank you.
Chandler Jones was there.
So that's not one of the questions.
Jordan Hicks.
Hey, is Chandler Jones going
to be there? Yes. Which, you know, 2 days ago.
Could have been a question.
Probably one of the biggest questions.
Yeah.
Because it came out that he requested a trade, but he is there. He's went through stretching and walking and running and all the sort of.
All the things you do when you play football.
All the basic stuff that they've done so far today.
Do you think as a society we're going to learn our lesson next summer when three or four quarterbacks are like, I don't like the team I'm on, and a couple other players like, I'm going to hold out or I want to trade, and then they all show up to camp? Like, do you think this offseason has taught us our lesson that a year from now we're going to be like, wait a minute, none of these guys are leaving?
Well, it sort of depends, because it depends. So the Matthew Stafford thing happened. Requested a trade. It got traded out of his situation.
But that's different because everybody's like, he's in Detroit. Come on, right. Help him out. Yeah.
But people sort of saw that as like the beginning of, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And because then there was the reports about Russell Wilson, about Aaron Rodgers, and about Deshaun Watson. We'll never know, because the Deshaun Watson of those three always seemed like the most likely to happen because, again, they were a miserable situation in Houston. We'll never know if he ever would have got traded and if that would have kick-started this movement because of all the legal problems and stuff swirling around with him that just made it made him untradeable.
Yeah.
So I don't know that this will ever go away. I think it's still slowly moving in the direction of like the NBA, the players having more power. I just don't think it went from 0 to 60 like a lot of people thought it was going to, where all the best players were just going to, you know, dictate what happens immediately.
But we're going to be dealing with the Aaron Rodgers stuff again next summer. Like, you can already pencil that in the second the season ends.
And who knows, depending on what the offense looks like and how Seattle does this year, it could be Russell Wilson again. Depending if the legal stuff gets cleared up, could be Deshaun Watson again.
So I already haven't learned my lesson, because I'm already like wondering about next offseason.
Right. But as far as Chandler Jones goes, he's there.
He's back.
He's at training camp. And the Cardinals, we just finished Sun season. And we're already starting Cardinals season. How about that?
These are not necessarily, I mean, they are some of the biggest questions, but there are other ones out there. Certainly.
These are just three.
There's a lot.
Three questions that you and I are each pondering.
Yeah, and you can,
as we go into this Cardinals season.
Can text us yours on the FanDuel text line at 620-620, 620-620 right now. So text us your thoughts on Cardinals training camp, what you're looking for this season, or this, I guess, this training camp session leading into the season. Hey, you can go full season too. I don't care. At 620. So I'm going to start out with this, and this is going to have to play out over the course of the season. This is not just a training camp thing, but
yeah,
we'll get to look at it. And I'm going to go, I haven't heard this question a ton, so I want to make sure I word it right. Add Rodney Hudson.
Yes.
Clearly the focus in a lot of ways this offseason was, let's make the offensive line. It wasn't just, hey, let's shore up the offensive line. I think they approached this as, let's make the offensive line a strength. Like, let's be at the end of the season, we look back, hey, the Cardinals had one of the five best offensive lines in the NFL. So that's one of my, that's my first question, is just how good can this offensive line be? Because as much as it's not a glamour position, certainly, if your offensive line is a well-oiled machine, and you can't, you know, you can't control for guys getting hurt or whatnot. I mean, was it the Rams a couple years ago when they went to the Super Bowl? They had the same offensive line start every game. Like, that'll help. If you have a good offensive line and nobody ever misses a game, you're probably going to go to the Super Bowl. So it's not, hey, is the offensive line going to hold up? My question is this a top five offensive line? Can we get to that point? Because they really haven't had that in a long time. The offensive line has been an issue for so long. And I mean, not like Rodney
Hudson. Did they ever have a top five offensive line?
They haven't.
I don't remember. As long as I can remember.
It's always like a weakness.
At best, it was like serviceable.
Yeah.
And like it succeeded because Kurt Warner can get rid of the ball so quickly. Or because Carson Palmer had so many weapons. You know, and or because Kyler Murray was so elusive.
Yeah.
Like it never felt like it was dominant.
No.
And that's why many people say that Rodney Hudson trade was the best move. It wasn't as flashy as some of the other names that were signed, but that was that if they could really secure that and really legitimately, that makes everything else around it better.
Well, that
solidifies everything else.
That's the biggest move of the offseason, don't you think? Like you said, not as flashy.
I mean, he's not a household name like J.J. Watt,
yeah.
Or as known as like. Even AJ Green yeah. Or Malcolm Butler, but yes, it was the most potentially be the most impactful.
So
and I'm sort of gonna.
Well, I was just gonna say it's been getting better with Sean Coogler and like DJ Humphries has gotten better. So it's not just hey, you added Rodney Hudson, you're gonna have a great offensive line. Like it's been getting better with those other pieces in place, and now you add Rodney Hudson, who a lot of people believe is the best center in football. It should be a legit strength now going forward.
And that's going to kind of lead into mine because it does play into it. And I'm going to go with another thing that's almost not talked about at all is the run game this year.
Mm-hmm.
They lose Kenyon Drake. They replace him with James Conner. Chase Edmonds coming back. I'm reading reports that he put on some weight, put on some muscle to get a little solid. Maybe he's expecting a bigger workload this year. But something that really, no matter what weapons they have, has really never gotten going and never really been utilized in the Cliff Kingsbury offense. The run game in the Cliff Kingsbury offense has essentially been Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Most effectively.
Which he doesn't really want. Kyler doesn't want that to be the case.
So will they be able to figure out how to use these two running backs, which we're thinking, do you agree? We're thinking it's going to kind of be running back by committee.
Yeah.
They're going to split carries.
Yeah.
And how are they going to use them in the passing game? Who's going to be your third down back? Who's going to be your goal line back? Are they even going to? Because another thing we've never seen Cliff do is use a running back by committee, even when they had multiple guys playing well at the same time. It never was more than like a 90-20 split.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see. And obviously an improved offensive line will definitely help that, which is why that kind of factors into the Rodney Hudson signing. But I'm interested to see that if the evolution of, and the further development of the offense does include the running game this year.
Well, and that's such a – you have to dig deeper than just the raw numbers with the Cardinals running game. I think Cardinals fans are able to separate it because you're watching all the games, listening to all the games. But I think nationally people just look and they're like, oh, yeah, the Cardinals, they're fine. What are they? They were seventh in the NFL in rushing yards last year. Yeah, okay, but they couldn't get yards when they needed them. Like, they could rip off eight yards at a time – when Kyler Murray was just taken off. I mean, early in the season, it looked like he'd get 15 yards whenever he wanted it. But when the team needed like 1 yard on third and one, they couldn't get it. And so, yeah, they rushed for, you know, what did they have last year? They were 2,237 yards. Well, Kyler Murray ran for 819 of them, and he doesn't want to run that much. At least when he talks, it doesn't sound like he wants to have to run that much in terms of designed runs. I think Kyler Murray is obviously smart enough to know that his ability to run sets him apart from other quarterbacks in this league and gives him the potential to truly be like an elite top five quarterback for a long time. But I understand what he's saying, you know, in the offseason where he's like, it shouldn't be something we depend on. Because when you draft a guy like Kyler Murray, number one overall, and you're like, hey, this guy can also run and nobody can catch him when he runs, that is supposed to be something that sets you apart. That's not supposed to be, this is how we're going to get our rushing yards, is by running our quarterback into the ground. So I'm with him on that, and I'm with you on the fact that the running game is still a little bit of a question. But I like the addition of James Conner because, and he's had injury issues, certainly, but we get so carried away with running backs, And, you know, they go out and they sign him. People are like, oh, James Conner, he's basically done, isn't he? He's been in the league.
James Carter. Why did they sign him? I don't know who he is.
Who's James Carter? James Conner just turned 26. Like, people act like he's like 48, right? He just turned 26. So we'll see. I mean, you got to stay on the field. But yeah, I'm with you on that one. Okay. I'll ask the obvious one. What sort of pass defense does this team have? Because you have a lot of inexperience in the secondary. And as we've talked about a lot with Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt and Zaven Collins and whatever you're hoping you get from Isaiah Simmons, and you bring back Marcus Golden, and eventually at some point you'll have Dennis Gardeck. You built a defensive line and linebacker group that should be able to get to the quarterback better than most in the NFL, but you also kind of have a secondary that could be in a lot of trouble if that defensive line and linebacker group doesn't get to the quarterback faster than anybody in the NFL. So I get it's not like unlimited resources. You can't go out there and build up that front seven and then go have an amazing two shutdown corners and Buda Baker and another great safety. But there's a lot of, I'm not going to say bad players in the secondary. It's just, there's question marks outside of Buda Baker.
It's their least concrete / thinnest position group.
Yeah. And it's the one that can expose you the most, right? I mean, you can get away in today's NFL with not having a great running game or great running backs.
Teams don't, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco, I don't know if they have a great running back, but they have four and they find a way to run. But when you have a weak secondary, and I'm not saying the Cardinals secondary is weak yet, like you just said, it's the least established, but if it is a weak secondary, that's going to be rough. So that's my most pressing question, obviously, with this team, stressful question.
Again, that's something we won't even know until a few games into the season. That's going to be a tough one to address if it turns out to be a big weakness.
You're not going to be able to do anything about
it. It's not necessarily something you could just, you know, get by, you know, figure out with scheme or something.
The first, I'm just looking at the schedule, they play, in terms of quarterbacks, they face Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence, the first 3 weeks. So, it's not brutal, but I mean, you do start to get into the quarterbacks, if you just go by quarterbacks they face this season, it's not that overwhelming. Like, you'll face Russell Wilson a couple times, uh-huh. We'll see how Matthew Stafford fits with the
Rams.
How
about the quarterbacks they faced last season there,
well,
Chacho?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, that's because a good point. I think they actually
that
faced
really
Chacho
had nothing
last
to do
season.
With anything. Many of the quarterbacks they played, what's the guy in the Eagles name?
On the Eagles?
Yeah, the Eagles quarterback.
Oh, I thought you were talking about to close out the season.
No, I'm just saying in general, the quarterbacks that the Cardinals played last year,
yeah,
the guy in the Eagles,
whose
help
name now I can't think of either because you just did that. The rookie. It's not
Jalen Hurts. Not the ASU guy.
Jalen Hurts.
And it's not the Suns rookie.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, and then the two third stringers that they played at the end of the year.
John Walford and
all these Bradley. Guys throughout the whole season almost had their best game against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily.
Even Tua had his best game and then kind of disappeared for a while.
That's what I'm saying. Is you can't necessarily just look on paper at, oh, you know, they don't play all the greatest quarterbacks every week. That doesn't necessarily mean.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying is, like, if you go through those first 3 weeks of the season, you're like, we just got carved up by Kirk Cousins and Trevor Lawrence, then you have a problem. That's what I'm saying is, like, early. Like, if you started with Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and your secondary looked weak, you might just be like, okay, it was Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. But they're starting with Ryan Tannehill's good, but Kirk Cousins and Trevor Lawrence, look, everybody thinks Trevor Lawrence could be great, but that'll be his third NFL game. If you're getting picked apart in those first 3 weeks by those quarterbacks, I'm sort of agreeing with you. I'm just saying it a different way. It's like you might be in trouble the first couple. You'll know if you're in trouble the first couple weeks if those guys are picking you apart. I don't want to be doing a post-game show after that Vikings game being like, wow, Kirk Cousins just had a great game, because I'll be the only person in America to ever say that.
All right, my next question.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a, which group will contribute more, will be the key, or will they both, or will they neither? The old guys or the young guys? Because they're expecting a lot about this, the sort of old, relatively speaking.
Okay.
But the A.J. Green, the J.J. Watt, the Malcolm Butlers, these guys, the sort of the bigger free agents they signed to bring in to be starters and contribute right away?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons, one in a rookie and one in his second year, but really his first year starting the whole year,
mm-hmm.
that are also going to be key starters. And can they get something out of both of those, the really young guys and the older veterans that they think are on the downside of the career? Because the way this roster is built up, they're going to need contributions from both those groups.
Who do you think, just narrowing in on two of those names, who do you think has a better season, Zaven Collins or Isaiah Simmons? One of them, at least one of them has to step up and play like not a rookie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They have to play like they've been in the league for a couple of years. And this is one thing I didn't understand. I don't hate the Zaven Collins pick, but I didn't understand the, oh, yeah, he's going to play right out of the gate no matter what. Like, okay.
I didn't understand the benefit, especially for, you know, NFL teams that are so close to the vest on everything that they immediately gave him the starting job.
When you say Kyler Murray's going to start right away after you took him number one overall, like, fine, everybody knows that. You can sit there and play charades and be, or whatever and pretend like, oh, no, he's not charades. I don't know what that would be. But you can sit there and try.
Charades would not be a good thing to play on the radio.
You can sit there and pretend that Kyler Murray's not going to be your starter, but he is. But you could have kept some mystery around Zaven Collins, and now you look at it, and it's like, yeah, he better be good.
At an important starting position group, you have a rookie and a guy who, you know, played last year but not was up and down and didn't play that much.
He's great against Russell Wilson, though, Isaiah Simmons was.
Well,
both games against Russell Wilson.
All right, so then let's go back to what you just said. Maybe they want to play really good quarterbacks.
I guess so.
That's when they play the best.
All right, this will be my third question and my final question for this segment. Who steps up? I'm surprised we haven't asked this yet. In the passing game, or the receiving game, I should say, behind DeAndre Hopkins. Because as much as I like A.J. Green, that's not a sure thing yet, given the injury history he's had recently. I keep thinking Christian Kirk's going to take another step. He hasn't done it.
Been waiting for his breakout year for 3 years now.
And it's a big year for him, because if he doesn't have it this year, maybe he's not here next year.
Yep.
And then I don't know if Larry Fitzgerald's on the team. I mean, I don't think that he is. And nothing against Andy Isabella, but I don't want them throwing him the ball very often. I mean, there were times last season where it seemed like he was running free and they were like, yeah, we'd rather just spike it and try again on the next down. So they got questions there in the receiving game. And when you're built around your quarterback and protecting your quarterback, you can only ask DeAndre Hopkins to do so much, because last season he had 115 catches for 1,400-ish yards and 6 touchdowns, and you still didn't make the playoffs.
They also have the rookie they drafted in the second round, Rondale Moore.
Yeah. He's intriguing.
He's intriguing, though, but like the way he's described, smaller guy, super fast, shifty.
I've heard that
with Andy Isabella, who also they already have.
Yeah, but in fairness to Rondale Moore, because you're right, we've heard that before, and it's like, why do you keep drafting the same profile? In fairness to Rondale Moore, he's not in, like, they're different people. So, like,
whoa, slow down there.
Yeah, so I want to see what Rondale Moore can do.
We're in a multiverse.
I don't even know how to respond to that. You've already put us in the ether and the multiverse.
That's a very complicated show.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you there, but I think even with DeAndre Hopkins, there's a little bit of a question about can they? He had an amazing year last year,
yeah.
So it's sort of weird to even say this, but can they utilize him to his full potential? Because as good as he was last year, do you feel like they used him as well as they could have?
No, I think the ridiculous numbers he put up last year are predominantly because of him. I don't think they used him as well as, and Kyler Murray too, able to get him the ball and everything. But it's sort of an odd position to go into the season and be like, yeah, Hopkins 115 for 1,406 touchdowns last year. We are counting on him doing at least that again. You know, like, those are ridiculous numbers. And you're basically going into the season and be like, well, we're locking in Hopkins for 115 and 1,400 yards. Because if he were to have an off season. I mean, I think he'd have to miss games to have an off season.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
Well, they all have an off season.
Well, he's had his off season.
Right. But he doesn't want to have an off season.
I don't want to have
an
off on season, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can have an off season in the preseason, which is after the off season.
But you understand what I'm saying. Because I don't understand
what
you're saying. But you understand what I'm saying. If DeAndre Hopkins isn't great,
yes.
Who's stepping up?
I know. And that's the problem, is that, like, he was... Well, is it a problem or is it encouraging that he was great and we feel like he wasn't utilized correctly?
What's discouraging to me is he was great and they missed the playoffs. Like, if you watch DeAndre Hopkins and you watch the games and you see those charts that were coming out midseason, we're like, yeah, they lined him up in the same 3-yard area over and over again for three straight weeks. Then you look and you're like, yeah, okay, maybe he could do more. Even if the numbers aren't better, he could impact games more if they moved him around or if they utilized him differently. But when you just step out and go big picture, this guy put up an unbelievable season and they missed the playoffs. It's like, well, what more does he have to do? And then you realize it's not him. They got to find other guys to step up. And I don't know who that other guy is yet. I mean, it's AJ Green. But until he does it with the Cardinals, you don't know for sure.
No. All right. And finally here, and I'm going to, now the obvious ones that we haven't hit, because we kind of hit them in the 11 o'clock hour, will Kyler Murray take that next step and evolve to one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL? Will Cliff Kingsbury continue to evolve the offense and, you know, solidify himself as the head coach? Those to me are the two biggest ones.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with another smaller one and piggyback sort of off of the wide receiver
this
thing.
Feels like five questions.
Do they get anything out of their tight ends this year? I remember last offseason, Peter Schrager, a lot of the fantasy Matthew Berrys of the world, Dan Arnold, that's all you heard. Watch out. Break Cliff Kingsbury's offense. They're going to utilize Dan Arnold. He's going to have this great... Well, he did nothing last year, and he's not on the team anymore.
He's getting Dan Arnold catching passes from Sam Darnold. That's where he is now.
That was his destiny.
But to be fair, when you're listening to fantasy experts, they are looking for just... Especially at tight end, they're looking for anybody.
I know, diamonds in the rough and stuff, and sleepers and stuff. But I bought into it. I drafted him in multiple leagues just because I thought, again.
Well, he was their number three receiver last year.
But so, yeah, okay.
He was. He had 438 receiving yards.
Okay, but that's not that good.
No, it is not. It's quite terrible, actually, when he's your number three receiver.
But this sort of connects with what I was saying about the running game, is that, and the reason I bought into it was that when you're told how dynamic this offense is going to be, and when you're told how great Kyler Murray is and how innovative Cliff Kingsbury is, you're expecting them to utilize all these weapons. They didn't replace Dan Arnold with a great collection of pass catching tight ends either.
No, and that's it's tough to just look at the numbers with the Cardinals receivers, because there were games where it just didn't pass the eye test. But if we're just looking at the numbers for just a second for the sake of this one argument, Dan Arnold was your number three receiver last year. So your tight end was your number three receiver behind DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk. And you didn't really replace him with an offensive weapon tight end. Like, you've got tight ends on your team, predominantly blockers. I mean, Max Williams is a blocker. He's a good one. But are you worried about where that production comes from? Because if you're just trying to slot in guys production-wise, I think you brought in A.J. Green to sort of replace Larry Fitzgerald. So who's replacing Dan Arnold? Because, again, he was your number three receiver.
It didn't feel like he contributed that much, but he was the number three receiver. Larry Fitzgerald was the number two receiver.
No, Fitz was, I mean, yardage-wise, Fitz was fourth. But, yeah, I see what you're, 54
as far as catches,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to just go by catches, Fitz was two and Chase Edmonds was three.
Oh boy!
It was broken behind DeAndre Hopkins.
It was
last
broken.
Year. And when they needed catches and yards and points the most in those last 2 weeks, it was very obviously broken. All right, we come back. We'll get more into the NFL next. It is the Bickley and Murata Show on 98.7 FM. Arizona
Aaron Rodgers and his man bun are at camp.
Party in here.
Might as well be a dressage horse.
Hey, somebody wrote in and said that canoe slalom is exactly everything I hope it to be, but they haven't shown it yet.
Downhill water canoeing?
Yeah, like competitive downhill water canoe
slalom.
Weaving. Yeah, I'm hoping.
And it's not kayaking, it's canoeing?
It says it's, I mean, that's just what the guide on the TV in here said.
This feels clunky.
I can canoe.
Oh, gosh. Bye.
Is there a way to turn it? You can't leave me here with him.
Yes,
Where are you going?
I'm about to do it.
It's ridiculous. Sarah's just out of here after that. I wish I could do that. Okay, let's go back NFL. This is Mina Kimes talking about the Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers situation. And, Jarrett, you mentioned this off the air before the show. It feels like everybody has an opinion on this. And it's basically split between like half the people out there are like, oh, what a great decision for the Packers. This worked out. And then the other half's like, oh, this worked out perfectly for Aaron Rodgers. I don't think this worked out well for either one of them, to be honest.
So to catch everybody up, Aaron Rodgers showed up for the first day of training camp today,
mm-hmm.
walking in without a care in the world, but with a bun in his hair. And as if nothing happened.
You know what? He walked in like a walking treasure trove of material for the sports kebab. That's what he looked
Ooh.
Like. He looked like he walked in just to give you material for that.
We're so many days away from that still, though.
I know. You don't even think about that until four seconds before it starts. But I don't want to put any pressure on you. But he gave you a lot of material.
Yes.
A lot of recycled material.
So somehow in the last 24 hours, they've come to an agreement for disagreement.
Yeah.
They've agreed to disagree and play out the season.
They've agreed to love to hate each other for a year, basically. This is Mina Kimes. She says it is a good outcome for Green Bay, actually.
I actually think that's a pretty good outcome for the team because either you win the championship this year, and I'm guessing he stays because everybody's happy, or you have a valuable trade asset. And you get that one final season with him, and you can trade him, and it's not like you didn't get anything out of it, because I guarantee you, in 1 year, some football team is going to give up a lot for Aaron Rodgers, and then you can transition to your rookie. To me, that's actually a pretty decent result for Green Bay, especially considering all of the drama this offseason.
All right, so then Adam Schefter sort of agreed with that. Green Bay did a very smart thing.
Green Bay did a very smart thing. Because there are other teams that would have been interested in trading for Aaron Rodgers, despite the Packers saying, we will not trade him. It would have been a situation that would have hung over the franchise throughout the course of the summer. It would have been an enormous distraction not having Aaron Rodgers there. And I can't tell you how close it was to happening and how much Green Bay's change of tune over the course of the last weekend influenced the events and allowed Aaron Rodgers to give in to the concessions that will bring him back to Green Bay and allow for as peaceful a summer as the Packers can have, as productive a season as the Packers can have, as both sides prepare for the eventual possibility that this could be Aaron Rodgers' last season in Green Bay.
It's about the best you could do. I don't know that this is like a huge win for Green Bay. I don't totally understand what Aaron Rodgers is getting out of it, other than you dug your heels in that you hate this team. But if your two options are just quit playing football when you're at the top of your game and also quit getting paid to do it, or go play for an organization you're not real happy with right now, I guess this is the better option. It's sort of a weird spot because, like, Aaron Rodgers, as I said, I understand his frustration with them not only drafting his future replacement in Jordan Love last year at the draft when he's nowhere near being done. So that's a bit of a slap in the face to your ego. But you also use that
pick.
Other than
a slap in the ego to your face.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. You also use that pick on a quarterback when you could have used it on something else that could have helped Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl. So I understand the frustration there, but at the end of the day, this is going to be his 17th season with Green Bay. Like, he's going to the Hall of Fame as a Green Bay Packer, whether he likes it or not. So do you really want to be in a hate relationship with the team that everybody is always going to remember you on?
I mean, he seems like the type of guy who doesn't care about any of that stuff.
True. He was dressed today like he doesn't care about anything.
The question to me is more about, like, within the locker room. Like, if you spent the whole offseason saying that you're mad at your GM for not getting you enough talent, for not drafting the right people, mm-hmm. and then you go in the locker room with all the other people that you think are not the right people
mm-hmm.
and not good enough, and you wanted to be out of there. I mean, his teammates understand what a great player he is, and there were some bad coaching decisions maybe away from the Super Bowl last year. But the whole situation is so awkward. You're playing with teammates that you don't think are good enough, for a coach that you don't trust because of the plays he's called.
Well, nobody trusts him after that playoff.
For a GM you can't stand.
And
for an owner who is also your fan base, who you may have pissed off.
To play devil's advocate for the second time.
Whoa,
on the show,
my goodness.
A lot of devil's advocate.
Repeat play.
If you... Yeah, but a different topic here. Who is it more awkward for? Russell Wilson going back to Seattle, who we don't really hear anything about, or Aaron Rodgers going back to Green Bay? Because my case would be Russell Wilson actually kind of, I know he never asked for a trade specifically, but his problem was like, hey, the guys around me aren't good enough. Whereas with Rodgers, as much as it was much more publicized and dragged on and on and on, his issue was, I don't like the front office. Like, I don't know if I'm an Aaron Rodgers teammate, I'm kind of like, all right, are we done with this? But I don't necessarily see the last couple months as him saying I'm not good at football.
Okay, but see, this goes back to what you said earlier, though. Does he not like the front office because they drafted his replacement? Or does he not like the front office because they drafted his replacement instead of getting him more talent?
Probably
that
he both.
Feels that he needs?
Probably both.
Okay, so, I mean, that's why it's like... It sort of affects his teammates, too. And the Russell Wilson thing is he was also sort of upset at the coaching staff and that they were going to go sort of more into like the run game and slow it down, and they weren't going to let Russ cook anymore. So he didn't like the way that was developing also. So it wasn't 100%.
Look, maybe it's wishful thinking that things are going to fall apart in Seattle. I don't think they're going to. But I just think from a player, from a teammate's perspective, as much as if I'm Aaron Rodgers' teammate right now, I'm like, dude, like at this point, kind of get over yourself. I never saw anything that happened this offseason from Rodgers being like, my teammates aren't any good and you got to trade me somewhere that's better. I saw it as, I don't like the GM and I want out of here, or he's out of here. And they somehow managed to keep the GM and Aaron Rodgers, which is...
But... There's a mechanism in place.
There is. There's a mechanism.
That mechanism is being cranked right now in the opening day of training camp.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Real quick, I want to play this Dan Orlovsky clip. He said, it's not great for Aaron Rodgers.
This feels like a huge swing and miss by Rodgers in his camp. It just does. Like, I know we continue to throw around the word concession, but like, it doesn't seem like there has been a ton from the Packers other than saying, hey, we'll look at it again next year. And I said this to Mike T the other day, like, the Packers get to eat their cake and have it too. Like, does that make sense? Whatever the saying is. Like,
right.
They get to take the young quarterback, they get to groom the young quarterback, and keep the MVP of the league on the same team. You want your cake to eat it too. Yeah, so they get to do that as an organization. And that just to me seems like a huge win by Green Bay. And I know that Shefty continues to bring up the point of like he gets to determine where he plays next year. So what happens if he goes to him and said, I want to go play in Minnesota. I want to go play with those two receivers. Like, are the Packers going to trade him in division? Like, how much say does he actually get?
I still think Rodgers, like I said earlier, wants to go play for a team that either is in the division, or maybe he looks around and he's like, these teams are all awful, but somebody that's going to be directly in the Packers' way of going anywhere in the future. So if that's another good NFC team or whatever. Football season's here, and we are getting you ready with the Valley Virtual Series Training Camp Edition. So text camp to 620-620. Receive a link to this exclusive event where you will hear from your favorite Arizona sports hosts, and you'll have the chance to win prizes like tickets and autographed memorabilia. So just text CAMP to 620-620, Arizona Sports Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. When we come back, we gave you our questions about the Cardinals, but something we're both very excited about with this team, encouraged for the 2021 Cardinals. That's next. It's the Bickley and Murata Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Yeah, Cardinals training camp has officially gotten underway, at least in the sense that the players are there. Chandler Jones is there, in case you're just jumping in your car right now or whatever, and you're like, oh, okay, is this going to be an issue? Doesn't look like it's going to be an issue, at least not in real time. He may not be on the Cardinals next year, or if things go sideways in the middle of the season, maybe I guess they would consider trading him, but he brushed it off today, and he is there. We've got some audio as the players begin talking to the media. Jarrett, what do you got back there?
Cliff Kingsbury addressed the media, and he was... The big topic, as you just said, Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
So first they asked them update on the Chandler Jones situation and him being there.
He's been great.
If you know Jim, a phenomenal human being, obviously a phenomenal football player. And we're just all excited to have him and have him back healthy and can't wait to watch him this season.
Did you have a chance to talk to him at all?
Yes.
How'd it go?
It was good. It was good, like I said. I mean, y'all know his personality. He's jovial and looked in great shape. So I'm really, really excited to have him back.
I should mention that he did the press conference from inside a submarine. So
that's a new twist. It's like when they do the draft pick from in the third round from like the Grand Canyon.
That's right. So then just the follow-up about what it's like to have him back and the impact on the team.
Is that a positive for this team before that everything's going to be okay?
Yeah, no question. I mean, we felt like we missed him last year when he was injured, and he brings such a presence in the locker room, on the field, to get him back and have him wrong again is going to be big for us.
Yeah, I said to just get him back in this setting where you guys are talking about football instead of the off-the-field stuff.
Yeah, that's part of the business. We don't understand that. It's that time of year, but like I said, he looked like he's in great shape and great spirits, and excited to work with him again.
I always forget how good Cliff Kingsbury is at the start of the season, how good he is at answering your question without saying anything that you can like use against him, right? I mean, he could be, I don't know if he would be a great attorney, a great politician, a great somebody like on the witness stand. I don't know. Probably a great politician. Not so much the second question there, but the first one about Chandler Jones. Like, oh yeah, he's here and I like him.
Looks great. Looks
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
And then just the other, not surprise, but something that people were keeping an eye on was the Jordan Hicks situation after they traded Zaven Collins and immediately named him starter. Some awkwardness there, and he wanted to be traded, but he's still on the team, and he was at training camp, and they asked Cliff Kingsbury about that.
Yeah, Jordan's going to come in and compete his tail off. Same thing. Looks tremendous. Was a captain last year for us. One of the real leaders on our team, and so once again, great to have him back.
Okay. So again, he's going to come in and compete. That is a weird situation, though, that we haven't really talked that much about, because Cliff actually did just say it right there. He's captain last year. And again, down the stretch, those last two games where they just had to win one to make the playoffs, you don't fault the defense for those losses, do you? Like, everybody could have been better. But it always gets brought up as, oh, they lost to C.J. Beathard and John Walford. It's like, yeah, again, the offense scored 19 total points in those two games. It's not like the defense. I think the defense gave up 38 points in those last two games. Like, ideally, yeah, you'd be able to exploit the fact that the other team was using their backup quarterback or their third-string quarterback. But I don't think anybody looks at the end of the season, they're like, yeah, it's the defense's fault. Like, they gave you a chance. And I know Jordan Hicks didn't have like a monster year, but he was a captain of your team. And as you said, Jarrett, they drafted Zaven Collins. And like, as he was walking to the podium, they essentially were like, and he'll be starting over Jordan Hicks no matter what. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. So I think it's good to have Hicks back. It's awkward, though.
And they asked Cliff, why did you go about that in that way and name Zaven the starter right away?
Yeah, talking with Steve, we just wanted to make sure that, you know, that's the direction it was going to go. We had drafted two linebackers in the first two rounds the last 2 years, and then we want to see what they can do on the field, basically, and have very high expectations for them athletically. You know, they have some ups and downs like young players do, but to have two guys like that, with their type of athleticism on the field at the same time, we're just excited to see it.
So it kind of makes sense. To a certain extent, right? Like, you took a linebacker in the first round two straight years. They don't want a repeat of like, hey, Zaven Collins got on the field as much as Isaiah Simmons did as a rookie. I understand that. But you're in win now mode, so you don't need to commit to a rookie playing. B, even if that's the way you feel internally, where it's like, even if it came from higher up, like, we're not going to go through another season where the first round pick doesn't play very much. I don't know that you need to make that public. And I don't think that's even something you need to tell Jordan Hicks. You can go to him and be like, look, you don't even need to. You drafted a first-round pick. You used a first-round pick on a guy that's going to compete with him. I think you just let one of your team captains compete with your first overall pick this year for playing time. I that was the one thing, like you said earlier, Jarrett, I don't understand why they said that. I mean, we get on Cliff for not saying anything when he's asked questions. That wasn't even really him so much that said that. But, I mean, clearly there was a mandate of, if we're going to use a first-round pick on a linebacker again, this guy better play.
Well, as you pointed out, the Isaiah Simmons thing was so weird because he started from day one
and got burned by the 49ers.
And then barely played for the next half of the season.
Yeah.
And then
different, though,
flashed a little bit.
Isaiah Simmons had no, like, he had no training camp or preseason to get ready.
Right.
Whereas Zaven Collins will.
Well, that's sort of why I group them together in our questions thing.
Yeah.
Is because it's almost as if he's having a second rookie year here and a second chance to really show what he could do. And they're both sort of getting a new start here.
They got to get these linebackers, like, going. If you're going to keep using first-round picks on them. And not, like, going out of town like Hassan Reddick. Like, you got to, if you're going to take Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins back-to-back, one of them absolutely needs to be an impact guy this year. But that's why I don't think it's the worst thing in the world that Jordan Hicks is back, because you are in win-now mode. Week one, you're playing Derrick Henry. I mean, good luck tackling that guy if you're a rookie, you know? So there's a lot there. That linebacker position is certainly a question as well. Like I said, there's a lot of different questions you can look at with this team. So good to hear from Cliff Kingsbury there a little bit, and certainly we're going to have more and more audio throughout the week. I'm sure Burns and Gamble will have some this afternoon as well. We're going to break now, because when we come back, Herm Edwards is going to be at the podium at Pac-12 Media Day, and haven't heard a whole lot from Herm after a very, very eventful offseason. So you can text us your thoughts on ASU, certainly, as we go into that on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin, in for Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.